100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the studio for 19 or long, so me say, oh, try it.
Hey, hey. Welcome back. It's Digital Sister 10. I wanted to take some time and let the whole discussion of my last podmail, Digital Sister 9, about the Dubai port deal marinate a little bit. I have counted no less than, 15 articles from all different types of media, BlackAmericaWeb.com, USA Today, The New Yorker, everybody has weighed in on this whole issue. And I'm glad that I wasn't the first one who really wanted to speak about it and really express my outrage about the whole thing. So again, I let it marinate, and everybody's kind of come to the same conclusion that it's not really in the best interest of the country to turn our ports over to a country that has, yes, even though they're an ally, but has some questionable things with them. But anyway, let's move off that topic, and I want to get back to a little bit about the hip-hop roots, about what Digital Sister is all about. And isn't it something that Notorious B.I.G., even though he's been dead since 1977, is still making the news? I find that absolutely fascinating. Recently, a jury decided that the title song used as part of an Ohio Players tune without permission was stopped, and they were awarded punitive damages because of that. And also, what I find very interesting is that they're going to reopen the murder investigation of his situation, because I read a couple of weeks ago that they have a feeling that perhaps the murder was really the involvement of possibly some police. And you look further into a recent ruling that Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles, was ordered to pay $1 million in legal costs to the family because there was evidence that was withheld and basically some generally sketchy things that were going on. And I find that particular aspect very interesting because back when he was killed and back when Tupac was killed, there was a whole, a whole conflict between the East Coast and the West Coast gangster rappers. And it seemed to fuel all of this imaginary tension and craziness with one coast pitting themselves against another coast. And all of the conjecture and rumor that the murder was in fact done by revenge for, Tupac's murder, since he was a West Coast rapper, when that occurred in Las Vegas about 2 years earlier. But the point I'm getting to is, if that is true, and that perhaps there was some kind of conspiracy with the police, it's interesting, again, that the media, the community, whomever, has spun out of control a conspiracy theory to deflect that perhaps the murder of Notorious B.I.G. was really done by the police. And how very important it is for us, the public, to find out exactly, as best we can, what's really going on. Because sometimes the media, the powers that be, will put a spin on a situation and have you think it's someone else doing the situation when it was someone else who actually committed the crime. And so that is why we have to read. That is why we have to stay on top of things and become educated ourselves. But speaking on that vein, I want to talk about BET. And I happen to like BET, which is Black Entertainment Television. And getting back to this notion of how we have to read and be informed. Well, once Bob Johnson sold BET to Viacom, and probably even a little bit before that, I mean, they got rid of all of their news. They got rid of the evening news with Ed Gordon. They got rid of Our Voices with Bev Smith. I was a big fan of that every Sunday morning. And they got rid of some of the other news commentary. I think Tavis, they got rid of him because he was on there for a moment. But what it speaks to is the dumbing down of a society. And if there is no news to talk about these things, then we fall victim and prey to the rumors and the things that the powers that be want us to do. And we will fall into that and prey into that and do damage to each other because of the rumor instead of looking at what really happened. So I just thought that was very interesting that he's been dead nearly 10 years and yet he is still making the news. And I wonder what he would be saying after he viewed the Academy Awards. I mean, who would have thought that 3-6 Mafia would win an Oscar for the song It's Hard Being a Pimp? Now, that also speaks to some degree that Hollywood is accepting hip-hop into the mainstream. I mean, they selected 3-6 Mafia song over Dolly Parton song, and I like Dolly Parton a lot, and I think, wow, what a change that was. So even though it probably will be another 50 years before we see a black actor and a black actress win Best Actor and Actress Awards, we did see that Hollywood was receptive to acknowledging the music. So I thought that was very interesting that the Oscars, in fact, voted to give, you know, these young hip-hoppers an Oscar. Because we haven't really seen a black soundtrack artist receive an Oscar since Isaac Hayes got it for Shaft back in 1971. So again, I just thought that was interesting. It does a lot, I think, for hip-hop. It does a lot to at least wake up Hollywood to take hip-hop into consideration. So I just thought that was very, very interesting. And touching on that note, I also kind of wonder why it is that when we do have some black actors that get nominated, like Denzel and Terrence Howard, you know, they have to be in these very different roles. Like, you know, they didn't give Denzel an Oscar for his dead-on, absolute, incredible portrayal of Malcolm X back in the mid-90s, but they gave him an Oscar for playing a rogue cop in Training Day. And he has other bodies of work that should have been recognized, but I thought that was interesting. And the fact that Terrence Howard, who's a great actor, and we're going to see a lot of good things coming out of him, I just found it interesting that, again, they nominate black actors for these roles. He's a pimp, you know? I saw the movie. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was okay. But I'm just glad that, you know, he got recognition for what he's doing. But again, we have to look at a lot of these things and educate ourselves and question and think and not fall prey to the dumbing down of society by the powers that be. But yeah, just very interesting. Hip hop has gone mainstream. And I wonder what Biggie would be saying now. For so many years, a lot of the early rappers, the Tone Loke's, the Big Daddy Kane's, and people like that that we love, you know, real music, they weren't given their due and their acknowledgement that a lot of the hip-hop stars are today who aren't making nearly, in my opinion, the quality of music that came out of the early days of hip-hop. So I just kind of wonder what Notorious B.I.G. would be thinking, you know, if he were able to watch the Oscars. He must be, like, so happy to see that Hollywood is finally embracing and acknowledging it and acknowledging it with black rappers, because I think it was maybe a year or two ago that Eminem received an award for being best rapper. And yes, he's fine, but let's give credit due where it came from, and let's acknowledge those early rappers and those kind of mid-year rappers that should be acknowledged, you know, because they're the ones who really, you know, started hip-hop. And people like Eminem and other Vanilla Ice and other people later on have just come onto the bandwagon of a new genre of music. Very interesting, very interesting. Let's see, what else do I want to talk about today? Oh, yes, let's talk about what's going on today with our kids. Because everybody's so anti-drug, anti-this, anti-that, but yet more and more of our kids are being prescribed antipsychotic drugs, which they have even determined. They don't even know if they're safe for teenagers and that sort of thing. So we have to look at that. And some of the reasons, I'm getting back into my social work skills, but some of the reasons why a lot of the kids are acting out and have a lot of disruptive behavior is because there's a lot of chaos and conflict within the home. There's a lot of trauma within the home. There's just a lot of crap going on in the home. And what happens is, you know, they're going to get the attention or they're going to get what they need, and it's going to be in class. And so what we have to look at is not look at the fact that so many kids are getting these antipsychotic drugs, but we need to look at what is going on in homes today that is causing the need of so many kids to be medicated. I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't have that kind of, every now and then there was a bad kid, but it wasn't like today. You know, kids weren't given all these antipsychotic drugs, and the behavior wasn't off the hook like it is today. So we have to start looking at what's going on at home and the types of things that our kids are not getting. You know, if they're not getting attention, if they're not being validated in a positive way, if there is negative communication, and by that I mean if you're always talking and yelling at them versus having a conversation, you're going to get some disruptive behaviors eventually. So we just can't just medicate. We've got to look at what we need to do to make things better for our kids today, because I think a lot of the kids are in trouble. There's not a lot of hope for them, especially minority kids. And we've got to just help them do better and help them be more functional and help them learn how to deal with their emotions, problem solving, all of that, because that also comes into play with this need to medicate kids. And it's also kind of schizophrenic because we're giving them all these, quote, legal prescription drugs, but then you're beating them over the head with all these anti-drug messages. So is it okay that they're, you know, perhaps, drugged up by prescription and given to them by a doctor and equally as lethargic, or is it okay if they did something, you know, from the street? And I think we have to bridge that schizophrenia, because it's a mixed message that it does more harm, I think, than good. But anyway, these are a couple of things I wanted to talk about today, and just really talk about the whole hip-hop thing. It just speaks volumes that, you know, hip-hop is mainstream. It's everywhere now. You look at some commercials, major companies are having things like 24/7 in their ads, or give me the 411, things like that. And this is strictly dialogue from the hip-hop community. So it's filtering into the mainstream, and everybody's doing it. And you're seeing country stars incorporating rap into it. You see some of the rock groups incorporating rap into their acts. So it's really a very interesting genre that started way back in the mid-70s, back in the Bronx. And it has grown and grown and grown. It is the new music of a new generation, and everybody is part of it. So again, I want to thank you for listening. My podcast is growing. I've got, for Digital Sister 9, we have something like 20 downloads, which is very, very good. So I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I hope you enjoy listening to the reflections of Digital Sister. I'll be back with you probably in a couple of days, and we'll talk about some other things. So thanks for tuning in, and keep tuning in to Digital Sister. Spread the word, and eventually this is going to be a very, very big podcast and a very popular one. So again, thanks for listening. Take care, and Digital Sister will be back with you in a couple of days.
West side, the west side, we're riding. West side, the west side, the west side.